Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Winnie by Kit Morgan, narrated by Tiffany Morgan. Chapter 1. Sunshine streamed through the open window, illuminating the dust motes in the air. Winnie Snow sat curled in the window seat, her nose buried in a book, oblivious to the commotion going on downstairs. "Winnie," her mother called down the hall, "what are you still doing up here? Put whatever you're reading down and come help with the garlands." Winnie sighed, carefully marking her page before setting the book aside. "I'm coming, Mother." She smoothed her skirt as she stood, then paused to glance in the mirror, tucking a stray curl behind her ear. Her reflection blinked back at her, blue eyes bright behind wire-rimmed spectacles. Downstairs, the house bustled with activity. Her brothers and sisters scurried about, carrying decorations and dishes. In the kitchen, Mrs. Dalrymple was baking pies. "There you are, Winnie," Granny said. "Be a dear and help your brother and sister with the garlands." Winnie sighed again, then joined Winter and Wilbert at the kitchen table, stringing flowers and ribbons. "I don't know what all the fuss is about." "I heard the whole town is coming to see you off," Wilbert said. Winnie frowned. "One would think none of us have ever been to New York." "Hannah hasn't," Winter pointed out. "And neither have her parents." Her little sister was right. The Turners had hardly set foot outside of Clear Creek. She knew that Sheriff Turner started as a deputy here, then went to Nowhere, Washington, for some years before Harlan Hughes, Clear Creek's sheriff at the time, moved to Nowhere to marry some widow. He was now retired and living on his wife's huge farm. "I still can't believe Wellington and Hannah are going to move to New York." Granny Snow shoved the basket of flowers toward Winnie. "Tomorrow ought to be interesting." Winnie took some flowers and got to work. "I suppose there's going to be food and, oh, good grief, don't tell me there will be dancing." "No," Mrs. Dalrymple said, "but only because there's not enough room at the train station." Winnie laughed. "I wonder what our friends in New York would say about this." "I don't want to know," Granny said. "I'm sure they'll have lots of questions for Wellington and yourself." Weston entered the kitchen, his arms loaded with greenery. "The train station looks great," he reported. "Mr. Mulligan, Mr. Van Cleet, and Doc Waller are painting signs and everything. Wellington and Hannah will love it." Winnie shared a grin with her siblings. The family couldn't wait to send Wellington and Hannah off in style, but that usually meant bouquets of flowers. This was something else entirely. As she turned back to her garland making, she thought of how romantic it was. Wellington whisking his love away to the glittering city. She sighed, imagining herself as the heroine of her own romance. Someday, maybe. For now, she was happy to play her part in a joyful occasion that would long be remembered in Clear Creek. For the town, this was important, as they saw Sheriff Turner as a sort of ambassador for them. Not that anyone in New York would give a whit about where the Snows had made their new home, but it was possible some might ask. After about 2 hours, Winnie tied off the last ribbon and handed the finished garland to Mrs. Dalrymple. "There, all done." The family cook added it to a pile on the work table. "That's some fine work. Thank you for helping." Weston hefted the pile into his arms and headed for the back door. "I'll take these over to the station. Winnie, want to come with me?" "Sure, why not? I don't need to pack until after dinner." She left the table and followed him outside where he'd loaded the other garlands into the back of one of the family's wagons. He helped her climb onto the wagon seat and they were off. At the train station, they added the garlands to the other decorations festooning the building. Winnie stepped back to admire their work, smiling at the banners and flowers that decorated the railing of the tiny platform. The entire town was attending the send-off.
"Well, I'll be,"
Sheriff Turner drawled, wearing a big grin. This place has never looked so good. And this is all for us? He patted Weston on the back, then turned to Winnie. And where's that book I saw you carrying earlier? Winnie held up the small novel she'd brought along. Right here. I keep it in my skirt pocket. I can't be without a book for long. The sheriff chuckled. I swear you got ink in your veins. You keep reading them books and you won't need to attend no college. Winnie beamed, warmed by his praise. Sheriff Turner was one of the few people who encouraged her bookish habits. Someday, she hoped to have adventures like the heroines in her stories. For now, preparing for their journey to New York was adventure enough. On the way home, she became lost in thought about the upcoming journey. She was happy for Wellington and Hannah, but also a little envious. Not only would Wellington be starting a new job, but they were starting their new life together as husband and wife. When she and Weston returned and entered the house, the usual chaos greeted her. Wendell was chasing Willa down the main hall, Mrs. Dalrymple chasing them. Mother tried to wrangle them into the library, but they slipped past her and ran into the kitchen. Granny Snow waved her cane at them as they passed. Father came downstairs, ignoring the ruckus, and adjusted his tie. There you are, Winnie. Be a dear and help your mother. I've got to go back to my workshop. He headed for the kitchen and the back door to make his escape. By the way, are you packed? Not yet, Father. I'll do it tonight. I haven't decided which books to take. Books, he rolled his eyes. Worry about dresses. I'm sure you'll attend a few social functions while you're there. She rolled her eyes in return. Balls are boring. He gave her a quick perusal and smiled. Perhaps not anymore. Try actually dancing at one. I think you'll like it. He smiled again, then cut through the dining room into the kitchen. Her shoulders slumped. If she didn't know any better, she'd say he was hoping someone back east would spark her interest. Huh! She went to help Mother get Wendell and Willa cleaned up for dinner, amused by their excited chatter. Willa giggled a lot and made kissing sounds whenever they brought up Wellington and Hannah. Why can't we go to New York too, Mama? Wendell asked as Mother wiped dirt off his face with a towel. Because it would be impractical for all of us to make the trip just to see Wellington start his new job. But when Becky Hampton gets married, we'll plan for most of the family to go. For now, it's enough that Winnie and Wellington are going. Wendell frowned, but accepted it. Winnie smiled and retreated to her room for a peaceful moment alone. Her shelves were lined with books of every kind, novels, poetry, and a few musings of her own, which she kept tucked away in a box and hidden under her bed. She selected a familiar favorite, then curled up in the window seat to read. It didn't take long to become lost in the story and see herself in the protagonist's shoes. If only she could have adventures, too. For now, books would have to suffice. A knock at the door jolted her from her reading. Dinner must be ready. Knocking was Weston's way of letting everyone know they should head downstairs. With a sigh, she placed the book back on the shelf and headed down. Her thoughts drifted back to the trip, and she wondered how Hannah and her parents were doing about now. Were they nervous? She was thrilled for them and couldn't wait to show them around New York. And she had to admit, she was excited to see if anything had changed since her family had moved to Clear Creek. Winnie wondered how Sheriff Turner and his wife would handle the transition from their cozy town to the bustling metropolis. Hannah seemed more prepared for city life as she had a great sense of adventure and wanted to attend college. Winnie was glad her brother had such a capable, adventurous woman by his side. Together, Winnie was certain they would thrive. And even though once she returned home, she'd miss Wellington desperately, she was happy for his opportunity to begin working at the Hampton News. The next day, the whole town was abuzz with excitement. Winnie helped her mother and Mrs. Dalrymple prepare a picnic lunch while her father and brothers loaded up the wagons. Father had decided to make a day of it, and she figured some of the townsfolk would too. She'd heard that Mrs. Dunnigan and Grandma Waller had been baking pies the last 2 days, and Sadie and Belle Cook had also been cooking. The send-off was going to turn into a town picnic at this rate. At the station, the platform had been transformed into a sea of flowers and banners. There were twice as many as there were yesterday. Several tables were piled high with sandwiches, fried chicken, vegetables, potato salad, and sweet treats. Fathers hoisted small children onto their shoulders so they could wave handkerchiefs at Wellington and Hannah. Wilfred Dunnigan and Patty Mulligan stood off to one side coaching them. Winnie had to laugh. "I wonder what the train conductor will think of all this." Weston pulled her luggage out of the wagon. "He'll have lunch like everyone else, along with the engineer and whomever else is on the train." She giggled in agreement as the train pulled in. Cheers erupted from the gathered crowd, and she caught the bewildered look on the engineer's face. "Well, at least they'll get a good lunch." Weston laughed. "True enough. Come on, sis. Let's get your luggage on board." He headed for the growing crowd, Winnie on his heels. When they reached the platform, Harrison and Colin Cook were slapping Sheriff Turner on the back. "Now, don't get lost," Harrison advised. "And don't lose Rose," Colin added. "You forget that I came from the East," Rose said dryly. "Doesn't matter," Harrison said. "I dare say you've been here long enough to have forgotten what it's like there. I can't imagine how things have changed in Sussex. It's been far too long since we've been there." Winnie studied the Cook brothers. They were middle-aged, witty, hard-working Englishmen. She still marveled that they came west with the founders of the town and stayed. Hannah saw her and waved as she held her hat to her head with her other hand. "Winnie, I wasn't sure if you'd get here on time." "We had to wait for Mrs. Dalrymple's last batch of cookies to bake. She's putting them on one of the tables." She nodded at the refreshment tables. "She packed us lunch and dinner." "That's good. Ma didn't pack anything. She figured we could raid the tables before we left." Hannah faced them. "You'd think we were at the Cook's annual barbecue." Winnie nodded. She'd been to two of the Cook's famous barbecues. There was so much food served at the event, she never knew where to begin. This was like a miniature version. She watched the townsfolk speak and joke with the Turners. They were the real reason for the send-off, and she hoped they liked the city of New York as much as she did. She hoped to see some of her old friends and wondered how they might be doing. Some she hadn't spoken to since her family came here, and others she didn't want to hear from. She also wondered if any of them had changed. She knew she had. Winnie smiled at the thought, clasped the book she'd brought a little tighter, then followed Hannah to one of the food tables. Chapter 2. The dazzling lights of chandeliers illuminated the sumptuous ballroom as New York's high society bustled about in their finest attire. It was here that Ashton James Bartlett strode around with an air of pompous arrogance. His expensive evening wear hugged his lean frame, the fabric shimmering under the chandelier's light. A gold pocket watch encrusted with precious stones hung from his waistcoat, as much a symbol of wealth as it was a timepiece. Ashton's dark hair had been meticulously styled, and his piercing blue eyes scanned the gathering haughtily. He barked at a servant, and the man scurried to bring him a glass of champagne. Once he had his glass in hand, he studied the room. The ball was nothing short of extravagant. Crystal chandeliers hung from the ceiling like opulent raindrops, while tables laden with succulent meats, fresh seafood, and exotic fruits lined the walls. A small orchestra played at one end of the room, its melodies floating through the air like silk ribbons.
"Ah, Ashton, my good man."
Clancy Schaefer, one of Ashton's friends, sidled up with a sly grin.
"Enjoying yourself, I see." "As much as I can. You know how boring these things can get."
Ashton took a sip of champagne and gestured at the room. It's a lavish affair, wouldn't you say? But then again, what would one expect from Mrs. Toole? Clancy laughed. Samuel Toole's mother is a force to be reckoned with. I wouldn't insult her party. Still, you're right, and that I'm already bored. See anyone worth dancing with?
No. You?
Not a one. It's just as well. My mother's here, and if I do dance with someone, she'll insist I call on her tomorrow.
Ashton shuddered. Did you hear about the Harringtons' latest investment? He smiled smugly. They put a substantial sum into my new venture. I told them it would be foolish not to invest in the future.
Ah, yes,
Clancy agreed, raising an eyebrow at Esmeralda Smith. Neither wanted to dance with her and took a step back.
You have a knack for picking winners, my friend, and for rubbing it in the faces of the less fortunate.
Isn't that half the fun?
Ashton chuckled, taking another sip of champagne and wondering if they should hide behind one of the massive pillars in the room. Esmeralda had been on the arm of her sister, and their beady eyes were fixed on poor Oswald Fetting, who'd just inherited a fortune in tobacco from his deceased uncle. He didn't want to talk to Oswald, who'd follow him around like a lost puppy, asking no end of questions about what to do with the added business. Ashton wasn't interested in tobacco, so he sidestepped toward the nearest pillar. Clancy followed, then leaned in and whispered in his ear,
"You really should consider being more aggressive in your business dealings, Ashton. There's a fortune to be made if you're willing to step on a few toes."
Ashton glanced at Clancy, noting his smirk and calculating eyes. Over the years, Clancy had been pushing him to be more ruthless in business and less empathetic towards the less fortunate. It seemed that Clancy believed kindness was simply a weakness to be exploited.
"Perhaps you're right."
Clancy smiled in triumph and nodded. Ashton had learned a thing or two from Clancy and his father, but his parents didn't care for the way the Schaefers did business. Mother even said Clancy was a bad influence on him. Ashton often replied that she just needed to get to know the man, to which his mother would respond, "No, thank you." As they continued to mingle amongst the guests, Clancy's obvious disdain for others grew more pronounced, leaving a trail of hurt feelings and bruised egos in their wake.
"Speaking of stepping on toes," Ashton said with a sly grin, "my family is planning our own ball, and trust me when I say it will put this little gathering to shame. Mother plans to hold it in the Westgate Solarium. She's having orange and lemon trees brought in and a number of exotic birds."
He went on to describe the opulent dress code and the exclusive guest list, each detail more impressive than the last.
"Ah, so your dear mum wants to ensure it will be the talk of the town, eh?"
Clancy asked, a mischievous glint in his eye.
"Indeed,"
Ashton replied, unable to contain his pride.
"And I've just learned that Wellington and Winnie Snow are coming to town. Apparently, Wellington has married some commoner."
He scoffed at the very idea, wondering if the Snows were now beneath him.
"Can you believe they moved all the way to Oregon? What could possibly possess someone to leave New York for the Wild West?"
"Desperation, perhaps?"
Clancy suggested with a chuckle.
"Or maybe they just wanted to hobnob with the cowboys and gold prospectors."
"Or the police ran Gilbert Snow out of town,"
Ashton said with a laugh.
"There was that business with a warehouse that blew up."
Clancy laughed.
"Oh, yes, I'd quite forgotten about that."
Ashton's laughter joined Clancy's. Their friends, all wealthy and influential in their own right, shared in their derision, casting judgment on anyone they deemed inferior. Was Gilbert Snow still the sophisticated inventor of snowflakes, or had he succumbed to his surroundings and become more like the locals of whatever obscure hamlet they'd moved to? He was curious to find out. As Ashton continued to enjoy the evening, a nagging thought tugged at his mind. Despite his newfound investments, his growing wealth, and the fact that he was one of New York's most eligible bachelors, he couldn't help but wonder how Winnie Snow was faring. He'd always liked Wellington's younger sister, and how she used to try to tag along with them whenever she didn't have a book in her hand. Now that there was a possibility they would soon be reunited, he found himself looking forward to reconnecting with her. Would she be proud of his accomplishments? Probably. After all, he was quite the catch. Let's see. Winnie ought to be ready to attend college. Would she come here for school or go to some women's college in the far west? Were there any? As Ashton continued to sip on his champagne, his thoughts lingered on the Snow family. I wonder if Winnie has changed much since we last saw each other, he mused, twirling the stem of his glass between his fingers. Who knows? Maybe she's turned into one of those bookish types who never leaves her room, Clancy remarked with a smirk. By the way, I heard that Becky Hampton got roped into an arranged marriage. If you don't show some interest in finding a wife, your parents might just choose one for you. Of course, I hear Becky is ecstatic. Poor Buttram isn't. Ashton's eyes widened. Joseph Buttram and Becky Hampton? That's almost revolting. He cringed at the thought, but something inside him stirred as he considered the idea of pursuing marriage. He was 23 and groomed to take over his father's business empire. He was everything a woman could want, and the stares of mothers were beginning to unnerve him. Winnie popped back into his head. He'd been fond of her during their school days, and now that she was coming to New York, his curiosity was piqued. Had she blossomed into a beautiful young woman or retreated into a world of books and solitude? Perhaps it's time I take matters into my own hands, Ashton said, swirling the remnants of his champagne. It wouldn't hurt to see how Winnie has fared since leaving New York. Clancy arched an eyebrow at him. Don't tell me you finally decided to enter the game of love? He smacked his friend on the back. Take my advice. Winnie Snow isn't the one for you. But if you think she might be fun to toy with, go ahead. I'm sure she'll provide an interesting challenge for you. After all, no one could ever accuse her of being dull. I remember how she used to make you and Wellington laugh, but you need someone more like us. Ashton chuckled at his friend's jest, though inwardly he wondered if there might be some truth to Clancy's words. Since moving to Clear Creek, had Winnie grown into a confident, worldly young woman, or had the isolation of the frontier left her craving the excitement of New York society? Only time will tell, he mused. He finished his champagne and handed his empty glass to a passing servant. He'd decided to satisfy his curiosity and make every effort to reconnect with Miss Snow, and perhaps in the process, rediscover a part of himself that he'd left behind in their shared past. He hadn't truly laughed since the Snows left New York. I heard the Snows are still as rich as ever. Clancy's voice broke into Ashton's thoughts. Oh? Oh, yes. Snowflakes is outselling all other soap powders on the market, and rumor has it he's working on some new products. Some sort of shampoo, I believe. Is that so? Ashton replied, only half listening as his mind wandered back to Winnie. Indeed. Clancy continued, smirking. And I also heard that Wellington is going to work for the Hampton News. Can you believe it? A small-time newspaper like that? Ashton scoffed, joining in Clancy's amusement. Yes, quite the downgrade from their previous life here. He does know that the news is just a hobby for Mr. Hampton. Exactly, Clancy laughed. You know how the Hamptons love to dabble in everything. True, Ashton agreed, but as they continued to mock the small paper, he sensed his growing anticipation for his eventual reunion with Winnie. Would she be the same charming, inquisitive girl he remembered, or had time and distance changed her irrevocably? Still, it will be interesting to see how Wellington and his sister have fared since we last saw them. I'm sure she's grown into a captivating young woman. Or perhaps she'll bore you with tales of her many books, Clancy jested. Ashton smiled at the thought. There was always something endearing about Winnie's passion for literature, even if it did set her apart from others in their circle. A circle she'd barely been a part of, considering she was 5 years younger than he and Wellington. So, what do you know of Wellington's new bride? Clancy laughed again. She's the daughter of a sheriff, Edmund said. When did you hear from Edmund? He wrote me while he was still in that miserable little town the Snows moved to. The only noteworthy thing the place has is some doctor said to be a miracle worker, but it's all a hoax. Ashton nodded. He thought about having another glass of champagne, spied Esmeralda Smith coming their way again, and stepped into the shadows behind another pillar. Maybe he should leave and save himself the headache of avoiding marriage-minded mothers and their unfortunate daughters, all of whom he found to be beneath him. Besides, they were all alike. Yes, they came with huge dowries, and yes, they were all part of wealthy families. But they were also boring, and he couldn't stand the thought of aligning himself with a dull woman who was sure to make his life miserable within 5 months of the wedding. He'd have to get himself a mistress, maybe two like Clancy had. Still, it was easier to avoid the topic of marriage and stretch his bachelorhood out for as long as he could. So long as his mother didn't get it in her head to marry him off, his life would be blissfully enjoyable. And maybe he would toy with Winnie just to see what would happen. Chapter 3 Winnie clutched her treasured copy of Pride and Prejudice as she stepped onto the train with a smile. The prospect of traveling filled her with excitement, and she could already imagine the whirlwind of adventures that awaited. "Isn't this exciting, Wellington?" she asked, eyes shining with enthusiasm.
"Indeed, it is,"
he hedged. Winnie knew he'd been preoccupied with thoughts of his new job and how it would impact his relationship with Hannah. Winnie, Wellington, and the rest of the Snows were all waiting to see how she would react to New York. Hannah might decide she didn't like it and want to hightail it back to Clear Creek, but Hannah also wanted to go to college, and Wellington was convinced they could make this work. As they settled into their seats, Edmund Hampton appeared at the front of the car, his sister Becky right behind him. They'd been staying at the hotel and hadn't participated in the festivities going on around their departure. Winnie wondered what they thought of it and smiled. "Edmund, Becky," she greeted them warmly. "I see you managed to make it past everyone." Edmund glanced out the window at the cheering townspeople, where Wilfred was waving a sign that said, "Please come back." He took the seat across the aisle from Winnie. Becky sat in front of him, her gaze drifting to the window. "No one ever gave us a send-off."
"Have you ever been to Seacliff, Winnie?" Edmund cut in.
Winnie smiled again. Neither of them wanted to listen to Becky whine. Even though she was now engaged, she was still Becky. At least she wasn't chasing after Wellington anymore. Instead, she went on and on and on about Joseph Reginald Buttram, her betrothed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?